Hello, hey, good morning, SP. I hope you're having a good morning so far. I've been waking up so early. I think it's just the fast, crazy. But okay, let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. And so just remember, we're going to obviously finish Mark on Friday, and then Saturday morning, we'll have a devotion that I'll be giving, and then we'll be breaking fast together. And hopefully you can do it within your house church, which would be ideal if you're able to swing that. Okay, so let's turn. Matthew 13. And as he was going out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, behold, what beautiful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another, which will not be torn down." And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew were questioning him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will mislead many. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. Those things must take place, but that is not the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. And when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not be anxious beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother to death, a father his child, and children rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you'll be hated by all on account of my name. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down or enter in to get anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days. But pray that it may not happen in the winter. For those days will be a time of tribulation, such as not has occurred since the beginning of the creation, which God created until now and never shall. And unless the Lord has shortened those days, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'Behold, he is there,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order, if possible, to lead the elect astray. But take heed, behold, I've told you everything in advance. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth the angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch is already has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. It is like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at cockcrowing, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert." Ooh, emphatic. Amen. Okay. Let's go through chapter 13 here together. Chapter 12, he was going out of the temple, so he's out of the main area, and as they're walking out of the temple, they see this picture of the complex, and they reply, "Oh, what a beautiful building!" And Jesus turns to them, and he finds this really a teachable moment more than anything else, and that's a lot of what the gospel is, especially the way Jesus is interacting. He's responding to questions. Things are happening, and he's just responding. And so he finds another teachable moment, and he turns to them and he says, "Well, let me tell you what's going to happen to this building." And it's true. And they were in awe of this. We talked about it a few days before, that this was the biggest, largest sacred place in the Roman Empire. They're marveling at these large stones. I only know that some of these large stones weighed 100 tons. I mean, can you imagine that? One stone weighing 100 tons. To give you perspective, the heaviest stone in the pyramid is a mere 2.5 tons. And so can you imagine what these stones are like? No wonder these guys were in awe. But Jesus says, you know, you look at this thing and not one stone will be left upon another. Which is exactly what happens. If you remember the way that the temple was laid out, it was actually gold inlaid in the stones. And what the Romans did when they sacked the temple, they removed all the gold. And so they upended every stone. And so, I mean, this is a true prophecy that takes place. And so, but you have to understand the context. When Jesus says this to the disciples, they think, oh my goodness, this is the end of the world. This is it. And so it causes them to ask two questions. And the rest of the passage, Jesus will answer these questions. They ask, well, when will this happen? And the second question is, what will be the sign? Like remember, signs are just a marker of what's to come. The sign is not the main thing. Sign is a marker of what's to come. So when will this happen? And what will be the sign? And so Jesus points to four signposts. And so if you think about projection, he's speaking about, okay, now he's speaking what's going to happen in the near future. And then he's speaking about the coming age. So you got to see this in different ways or different lenses. And so the first part, he talks about the four signposts that will lead to, which is probably the most cataclysmic event that happens for the Jewish people, is in AD 70, the temple gets destroyed. And so he says, this is what's going to happen. The first sign point is there's going to be false messiahs. So don't be deceived. That's the message. There are going to be false messiahs. Don't be deceived. Brothers and sisters, listen, anyone tell you that they are Jesus or they're the Messiah, Sung Young Moon in Korea, you know, or, you know, any of those other crazies that are all over the place, David Koresh, whatever, it's just wrong. And the Bible clearly tells us that when Jesus comes again, he's not here to reside on the earth. He's not going to be here to spend another 33 years. He's coming on the clouds. And we talked about that the other day. Remember, he rode in on a donkey, but when he comes again, he's going to ride in on a horse, and he's going to the angels with him, and this is going to be a spiritual event, not a human event, that takes place. And so, whenever you hear this person's the Messiah, it's just wrong. I mean, it's just straight out wrong. You don't have to have the gift of discernment. You just have to have eyes and understanding to read the scriptures. And so false messiahs, he says, listen, don't be deceived. Then there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And so his message is, understand that it's coming. Then earthquakes and famines. And Jesus says, it's just the beginning. And then there's going to be persecution. But the persecution is the result, what? That the gospel must be preached to all nations. And so this has to happen. And so persecution is going to come along with this because it's going to be so offensive to people. Now, Mark 12, verse 12, is a little shift. And really, Mark really records a prophecy that would have really resonated with the listeners in Rome under the persecution of Nero. And it happened where, you know, where it says where brother will betray brother and father, children and children, parents, and vice versa, and they'll be hated by everyone. You know, this happens in the reign of Nero for the Christians. And so again, this is another unique thing that's to Mark. And not only is like, well, not only did it's kind of, if you can imagine, he's speaking to these listeners, these Christian listeners in Rome that are going through persecution. And he's saying that not only did Jesus prophesy this, but take heart and be encouraged. Because even when they take you to authorities, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. And so you can imagine a kind of encouragement that happens to these Roman believers under a heavy, heavy dose of persecution. Remember, their brothers and sisters are being thrown to the wolves. I mean, thrown to the lions and animals and being torn apart in the Circus Maximus. And so these things are happening here. And so in the four decades, remember I told you about things that are coming soon. In the four decades that follow Jesus's statement, the words, his words are fulfilled. So let me just go through a little history with you for a second, okay? Number one, there were five, according to history, five major earthquakes that took place in AD 46 in Crete, in AD 51 in Rome, in AD 53 and 60 in Phrygia, and then in Campania in AD 63. There were three great famines that occurred in Judea in AD 44, in Greece in AD 50, and then in Rome in AD 52. In fact, in recorded Roman history, AD 65 was the worst year for famines and earthquake in the history of the Roman Empire, in the history of Rome. In AD 69 is known as the year of the four emperors. And this is really the time of political confusion and unrest. And then obviously the book of Acts records the arrests and trials of the disciples of Jesus. We know that James is the first one to be martyred. And then it just goes down the list. We have Stephen and it just goes on and on. Stephen was first, and then it goes on and on and on that happens. And then all this is taking place, but he's telling them this is still not the end. Verse 7, this is still not the end. And then what happens in verse 14, Jesus's tone shifts a little bit. He moves from the generalities of what's happening in AD 70, and then he moves to specifics describing the events surrounding. And what eventually happens in AD 70 is Titus destroys a temple. Now, this word that he uses, the abomination of desolation or the abomination of the desolation, comes from Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. This is what led him on his fast. If you give you a history line, actually, this was first fulfilled in what scholars believe in 167 BC. And this is when Antiochus Caesar IV placed a statue of Zeus on the altar of burnt offerings in the court of the temple. This is what most Jews consider to be the abomination of desolation. Now, what he's probably referring to is another one that happens. And this happened roughly around 68 to AD 68 or so. And what happens here is some zealots, they anointed a clown, I mean, a little clown as the high priest. And so they also consider this to be the moment. But we know for sure that Titus destroyed the temple in AD 70. And most people would see that date as a major shift that happened. The Jewish Christians, interesting enough, and he says, when this happened, when the abomination of desolation happens, he told them to flee to the mountains. And interesting enough, if you look at church history, there are actually a whole bunch of Jewish Christians that did that. They fled to the city of Pella before Jerusalem was cut off by the Roman 10th Legion, and they survived. And we see a lot of pockets of these things that take place. So they remember Jesus' words, and they followed suit, and they survived this great persecution that happens. And so, but think about this. So even though Jesus reminds them that they can escape to the mountains, even though that takes place, the destruction of the temple will seem like the end of the world, but it isn't, because they can escape that in that place. The Messiah will not return then. What are they to do? They were there to be aware and to watch. Okay, so those are the signs. So when is this going to happen? Now this is a question. He'll turns from describing earthly events that they can run away from, and then he'll turn to spiritual events that takes place. Remember, earthly events, you can escape, you can run away from it possibly, but spiritual events, you cannot, and they'll take place. And then when that happens, he will come in the clouds with the angels. This is going to be a spiritual event that takes place. Remember the false messiahs I talked about before? He will not take residence here on earth. Anyone that tells you that, you just say they're just full of garbage. He's going to come in the clouds with the angels. And Jesus takes the disciples from the future, to the present, and he uses the fig tree as his lesson. In other words, when you see the green, you know that summer is coming. Likewise, you see the signs, you'll know the time has come. So when is this going to happen? Jesus says, I don't know. He says, the angels don't know. The Lord says, even I don't know. But the key here is he's not trying to keep secretive. And perhaps it's a better way of doing this. He's telling you the important part, and this is what bothers me a lot about a lot of end time teaching. Okay, the important part is not for us to know the answers. It's not. Beyond knowing lies the faith that manifests itself through obedience. Even the Son doesn't know. Perhaps he's chosen not to know, but it's a lesson that life is not about knowing. What is it about? It's about obedience. It's about obedience. The last parable is about faithful service. Remember the last parable that's laid out here. You have a man, he goes away on a journey. You don't know when he's going to come. You don't know when the master is going to come back in. And you never know, in the morning, in the evening, but what they're supposed to do is be ready. They're supposed to be faithful servants, obedient servants. Knowing is not really what matters. And so many people get so caught up in knowing and this sign and that sign and this prophecy and that prophecy and dissecting the book of Revelation and Daniel and the prophetic books. I mean, that's all good and all, but they're missing the point. It's not about knowing. And in fact, anyone that tells you that they know, we know that they're wrong, because even the Son doesn't know. And if anyone predicts that this is going to happen and that's going to happen and this and so on and so forth, and we've seen this, right? We've seen people say, oh, he's going to come in October of this day. We've seen a lot of cult leaders begin to do this and you know, it's going to happen in this time. Listen, they're full of garbage because they don't know. Even the Son of Man doesn't know. Because the main point, the point that Jesus is making, is not about the knowing when. The point that it's making is to be obedient and be a faithful servant. Knowing is not what matters. Obedience is everything. Obedience is everything. It's okay to get, you know, because we need to know the signs. But to be honest, wars, rumors of wars, it's been going on for ages. Every generation has had their own. But in that same way, it's not about knowing. It's about obedience. That's what's important. So let's close our eyes. Oh, I get finished a little early today. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Even in our life, let me do a little pivot here for a moment. Even if our lives, we want to know so many different things. Sometimes the knowing is not the most important thing. It's the obeying, the faithful servant's heart. And I believe out of that faithfulness, out of that obedience, God will move. You will never miss out on God or what God has for you if you're a faithful servant. It's really simple, right? Be faithful in the little things, and I'll entrust you with much. And so let's take a moment and just go before the Lord, and let's talk to God about our obedience. To obey is more important than sacrifice. So let's pray as we sing. Let's just go before the Lord. Knowing is not what matters. Obedience is everything. Sorry, we're having a little technical difficulty. Maybe my sharing was too short. But whoever's on worship, you may proceed.
I know.
Spend a moment and let's just continue to reflect on our obedience. Right? Knowing is not what matters. Obedience is everything. Watch and be aware. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's battling through cancer, going through therapies and surgeries. And let's just pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for healing, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Cover our community that's looking for non-cancer related illnesses and healing. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray for Hong Kong this morning. Let's just lift up our government. Let's pray for Carrie Lam and other leaders that they would rule righteously. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival. Let's lift up churches all over the city that the gospel be preached. Pray for sports services and Shanty, YWAM, Sons and Daughters, Stan Asia, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's just lift up our city. Let's pray over our staff. Let's ask the Lord to equip us, to strengthen us, to give us boldness, and let there be unity and great love for God and for each other. Let's just lift up our staff. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and barista. I know that they're a bit off these days, but pray that the teams will be really built, that our leaders would invest in our volunteers, and they would be ready to roll when we come back. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV teams. Let's just lift up our musicians, our sound people, our tech people, that God would really use them powerfully to lead our church into His presence. Let's lift up house churches meeting tonight. Chaya Tea, this is the Wan Chai Admiralty combo. First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, House to House, Kowloon, Old Peak Road, and Princeton. Let's pray for our leaders, our volunteers. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would just really unite these house churches to Him and to one another. Let's lift up. Let's go to our member focus this morning, and let's pray for Kathleen from First Street. Let's pray for God to grant them a baby at this time. Pray for the hand of the Lord to be upon Kathleen and Chris. Pray for job direction as Chris goes back to school and more strength in serving. Let's pray for Lynn Chan from Old Peak Road, a commitment to fasting from social media, commitment to reading the word daily, and commitment to daily intimate prayer. Let's lift up Lynn. Let's pray for Jenny Kwan from Go House Church. So salvation for family, neighbors, and friends. Wisdom and role of mother, wife, woman, and friend. And to have assurance of victory. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's lift up Jenny. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you, God, and Lord, we await your return, Lord. But until then, you have a job for us to do. Help us be faithful servants in carrying out your will, Lord. And we see the signs, God. We see what's happening in the world around us, Lord. And God, we know that because of your grace, Lord, you will not return until the gospel is preached to every ethnic group. And so help us to be a part of the Great Commission, God. Help us be a part of the Great Command to go and love you and to love our neighbor, God. And the most loving thing we can do to our neighbor is tell them about Jesus. And so would you use us, even today, God, help us to share Christ with somebody, anybody around us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Watch over us, Lord. Help us to be aware. We love you, Jesus. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time this morning, and have a wonderful, wonderful day, and stay strong. Bye-bye.